patternhood in his apostleship in 1 Timothy 1:16. That was his patternhood. And that was his gospel in Romans chapter 1. His gospel was to manifest that. To have others observe that in him. Now, C says, there are two aspects. So I'll read C and D all the way through and then go back and comment. There are two aspects of Christ being the righteousness to the believers. One, the first aspect, to be the believer's righteousness for them to be justified before God objectively at the time of their repenting unto God and believing into Christ. And so these verses talk about the righteousness that we attain to when we believe. This is our objective righteousness. Then two, the second aspect, to be the believer's righteousness lived out. Lived out. So one was a righteousness unto God that brought us to God, and then was a righteousness that was out from God, lived out from God, lived out from them as the manifestation of God, who is the righteousness in Christ given to the believers for them to be justified by God subjectively. Okay, so now you're getting to... You see the development of righteousness and romance? There are these two aspects. And the third point nails this in. It says, these two aspects are typified by the garments in Luke 15:22 and Matthew 22:11 through 12. So garments, clothing represent our living, And so there are two kinds of living. One is a kind of living that is marked by our objective righteousness. We are changed in our living and we're righteous before God, never again to be severable from him because we believed. And we have Christ as our righteousness. And this is the robe in Luke 15:22 that the prodigal son, it was the best robe. It was the robe prepared for the prodigal, placed upon him. Because he believed he was back home to the Father's house. Then in the Father's house, as an enjoyer, there was another kind of robe. And this kind of robe is signified by Matthew 22:11-12. And you realize this was the story of the one who had a certain garment, was invited to the wedding feast, came in, and they said, sorry, you don't seem to be dressed properly for this wedding. Please leave. This is the wedding garment. This is the wedding garment. And so the garment in Matthew 22 is the garment in Revelation 19. And this garment represents subjective lived out righteousness, which in Matthew 22 and which in Revelation 19 is the righteousness of romance. So you're found in him and you have your living in him. As the Lord had his living in the Father, and that living becomes righteous. It's no wonder that in Matthew 3:15, the Lord came to John to be baptized. John said, no, I need to be baptized by you. And the Lord said, no, baptize me, for in this we will fulfill all righteousness. So in his baptism, which meant the putting away of his independent natural living, in his baptism, by which coming out of that water, he was fully met with and in the Father, as signified by the voice, this is my beloved Son. This significance of the descending dove. This indicated that in his ministry and in his living overall, that he lived in the Father as his realm of living. Never outside. Now we do the same. From the time of our baptism, we don't live our natural life. We live in the Lord as a realm. So from morning till night, We should place ourselves, have consciousness. I am in my Philippian jail. I am in my Patmos. I am in my situation in which everything, in stark contrast to the observable picture, everything is actually a placed, planned, prepared experience of engaging with the Lord romantically. Amen. And when we do that, that is right. That was what was intended. It's what God wants. It was what was intended. It's our obedience. It's our righteousness. So D says, the subjective righteousness of God in Philippians 3:9 is actually God himself becoming our daily living, a living which is right with God and man. Paul may have had a living which was right with man when he lived a life that was blameless according to the law in verse 3 of chapter 3. But that living was not right with God. According to the letter, yes. But according to revelation, according to the desire of God's heart, it was not right. The living that's right with God's heart, and there and thusly fulfills his word, is the living in which we're subjectively and romantically involved with the Lord, finding ourselves in him as a realm, involved with him in the various details of our daily living. D1 says, Paul did not want to live in his own righteousness, the righteousness which comes out of man's effort to keep the law. 2, our own righteousness is the expression of ourselves, indicating that we're wrapped up with ourselves. So we express ourselves. The living out of ourselves. No. So 3, Paul desired to live the righteousness of God and be found in a transcendent condition, expressing God by living Christ and by not keeping the law. 4, the living which is right with God and man must be God as our expression in our daily living, God himself lived out through us. And 5, if we are to be found in Christ, we must be in such a condition that God is expressed through us and becomes our daily living. So, 2 constraining aspects of Philippians 3:9 that bridge us from verse 8, the excellency of knowledge, to verse 10, the richness of experience. Our number 1, we realize that we can live in him as a realm. And number 2, we can live there romantically, and this romantic living with him is the fulfillment of his righteousness. Now, the third one, seals it. This next point seals it. And this is the one, the third R, the R of reality. And this is that this is a righteousness that is out of faith. Out of faith. So, what is faith? So, in Galatians 2:20, 2:16, and Romans 3:22, we have the expression, the faith in Christ Jesus. In those 3 verses, the phrase translated the faith in Christ Jesus, the faith in Christ Jesus, is literally the faith of Christ Jesus. The faith belonging to Christ Jesus. I believe this is also true of Hebrews 12:2. So, a yoke of suffering and weight that most believers have out of traditional understanding of faith in traditional theology is that faith is something that we have to develop. Build up. Exercise. Exercise our faith. Oh, why do you have such little faith? Exercise your faith. Have more faith. Have you experienced this? Yeah, yeah. And what was the result? Failure, or not much. That's because that's not at all what's involved in faith. Faith is utterly involved with appreciation, responsiveness to attraction. Appreciation, well, maybe I should say appreciation in response to inherent preciousness. So the inherent preciousness we have in verse 8, the excellency of the knowledge. Excellent. He is excellent, and the knowledge of him is excellent. When you have that excellent knowledge, when you have that excellent knowledge, it's because you had, if this is your view, you had something come and loom into and enter into your view. And it was capturing, captivating, something you'd never seen anything like it before, as Brother Phil was describing. And you want it. And you appreciate it. So that happened to each one of us when we were born again, when we were regenerated, right? And through his word, or through circumstances, or through something in the environment, we saw Christ as one who was exceedingly valuable, precious, but outside of us. When we contemplated that view of him and we appreciated him, and we wanted him, it caused a reaction in our being. That reaction in our being and our tending our being toward him with anticipation opened our being, and he, as this one that we appreciate, who himself is and possesses faith uniquely, came into us. And now, he, coming into us, caused us to have faith in Christ. But that faith in Christ was actually, as the literal translation goes, was actually not our faith. It was him transfused into us to be our believing capacity, to be our faith. Forming in us, amazingly, but words fail to describe, a union in spirit, capital S, with spirit, small s, of our being with his, joined in life, joined in nature, joined together. And this union then became our link between him from the present time on to eternity. So, faith is the activation of the precious Christ within us, who is faith, by our being freshly drawn to him in new appreciation and contacting him. When we contact him, out of present, continued, or newfound appreciation, now we have faith again. Now we have faith again. So, to complete the picture, how do we live in this realm? How do we experience the romantic righteousness that is in this realm? We have to, by our past experience and by our present realization, be constrained to contact him again. To turn our heart again. To say, Lord Jesus, I love you again. Amen. And we contact him. Amen. And as we contact him, he is freshly our faith. We're in this organic union. And out from that organic union, as we live with him, together with him, in that union, we pass into him to experience him from within. We experience him from within as a realm. And he passes into us and experiences us as the realm that he wants to. And now he can live in. And then we live this, we live a kind of righteousness that is the righteousness of God that is out of faith, which is our contact with him, out of our appreciation with him. Now, this is wonderful when it happens in an instant of time. And we will feel it and experience it as just as you experience electricity when you touch it. In that moment of time, you get electrified. When we touch the Lord newly in our spirit and experience him as this faith, we'll get electrified again. But this is to be a continuous current. This is for us to live this way. Live this way. Now, as we live this way, we discover in this realm a wonderful discovery, and that discovery is everything's him. Everything's him. So we're in this state, we're contacting him in this way through our organic union with him, and we come to the Word, and everything's him. We go about our daily routine, and we hold to him in this way, and everything's him. Mm-hmm. And little by little, we know him. Amen. We know him. So, my time is up, but maybe we could... could you allow me to just read to you the rest of the outline? And maybe just make a few little tiny comments. So E says, the righteousness which is out of God is based on faith is the righteousness that is God himself lived out of us to be our righteousness through faith in Christ. Such righteousness is the expression of God who lives in us. So we have the subpoints here. Literally, faith in Christ in verse 9 is the faith of Christ. A, the faith is Christ himself infused into us through our appreciation of him who becomes our faith. B, the faith of Christ brings us into an organic union with him. Two, the righteousness of God is based on faith because it is on the basis or the condition of faith. Faith is the basis. Our contacting him freshly out of our appreciation from him is the of him is the basis, the condition for us to receive and possess the righteousness that is out of God, the highest righteousness, which is Christ himself. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we become the righteousness of God in him. Three, and so this applies with the Word. We contact him. As we come to the Word, when we experientially have the supply of the Spirit through the Word of life issuing in the faith of Christ, we are infused with God himself, and then God who's been infused into us becomes our daily living. The living which Paul describes as the righteousness of God. 4 says, we should aspire to be found in Christ under the condition of enjoying God's infusion so that we may live him out through the supply of the Spirit, the word of life, and the righteousness, which is through faith. In the life study of Philippians, there's a wonderful section corresponding to each one of these points. So we very much hope you could get into that. Now, Roman numeral 3, read through. Paul aspired to know Christ. Philippians 3:10. A, to have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ in Philippians 3:8 is by revelation, but to know him in verse 10 is by experience. B, Paul first experienced the revelation of Christ, then he sought the experience of Christ. to know and to enjoy Christ in an experiential way. I hope that this morning we see how Philippians 3:9 brings us from revelation to experience. See, this one thing, seeking this experience of Christ, this one thing in the book of Philippians is the subjective knowledge and experience of Christ corresponding to Song of Songs. D, to know Christ is not merely to have knowledge concerning him, but to gain his very person. So here notably, 2 Corinthians 2:10 points out that when we are living in our union with him, in fresh contact with him, and are in this realm that he is, we're found in him, we have the experience of being in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the fulfillment of the blessing in Numbers 6, 25 and 26. In Numbers 6, 26 it says, "May Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Actually, the lifting up of his countenance upon us depends upon our contacting him with fresh appreciation, looking into his face, and then his countenance is released. Actually, his countenance is down because our countenance is otherwise directed. One, to gain something requires paying a price. To gain Christ is to experience, enjoy, and take possession of all his unsearchable riches by paying a price. We touched on that last night, and there's more to say maybe tonight and tomorrow. Two, Christ has gained and taken possession of us that we might gain him and take possession of him. So he took possession of us in a second, and we took possession of him in a second. But from that moment, our initial possessing of him is to be a mutual gaining. A mutual gaining where we take possession of him, and that entire process as the race in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in Philippians chapter 3, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in Hebrews chapter 12, that entire race is a race in the condition and atmosphere of Song of Songs. The Christian life is a life of gaining Christ in his full ministry in three divine and mystical stages: incarnation, inclusion, and intensification. Maybe I can say something about that tomorrow. Even though Paul had experienced and gained Christ tremendously, he did not consider that he had experienced him in full or gained him to the uttermost. For this reason, he was still advancing toward the goal of gaining Christ to the fullest extent. In order to gain Christ to the fullest extent, Paul not only forsook his experiences in Judaism, but also would not linger in his past experiences of Christ and be limited by them. He forgot the past. To not forget the past, but to linger in our past experiences, however genuine they are, frustrates our further experiencing of Christ. Indeed, Christ is unsearchably rich, and there's a vast territory of his riches to be possessed, always stretching out to reach the farthest extent of this territory. So with this feeling and with this spirit, we apply and are constrained, as in 2 Corinthians 3, as in Philippians 3:9, and this brings us from excellent revelation to full experience. Perhaps you listened to the audio message, could have been audio message 25 of the Life Study of Numbers. Brother Lee said, he was in his early 80s, he said, "If I had it to do over, this is what I would do. I would invite 1,000 saints to be with me from age 50. And then for the rest of my life, from age 50, we would spend all day, for the rest of my life, 30, 40 years, every day, on Philippians 3:10a. searching out what it is to know him. So this is our heart's desire. This is Paul's heart's desire. And to do this, we can be helped and even constrained by realizing that when we contact him by faith in our organic union with him, we're transposed and transported into a realm that's his very person in which we can live and have romantic involvement with him. When we do that, we live out the righteousness of God and are observed by the entire universe living out the righteousness of God and are observed by others and found in him. Isn't it wonderful that we can spend our time on these four verses? You know, it's not a small thing that we're spending this time on the experience of Christ. So saints, as Phil said yesterday,
amen.
Don't let this go.
Amen.
Don't let this go. This needs an echo. Mm. This needs penetration.
Right.
How about if we pray with our neighbor and then we can have some speaking thereafter.